Swallow this.
Welcome back, listener. It's episode 14. October Attack of the Clones continues this week as we grab Sam Raimi's Evil Dead, the ultimate experience in grueling horror, and his 2013 clone by Fede Alvarez and make them fight. I'm Jared.
This is Ethan.
What up?
And special guest Adrian returns.
Hey, everybody.
This is the 35th anniversary for the Evil Dead.
Yeah, just so it makes sense why we're doing this movie, I guess.
To make sense of why Adrian's back, Adrian, how big of an Evil Dead fan are you?
I'd say, you know, I really did like Evil Dead when I was younger. I think most of the horror that I watched was probably, you know, when I was between 6 and like 16. So, you know, that falls right into that cat, like right into that time frame when, you know, this kind of guerrilla way of making horror was, you know, ever more popular after the popularity of movies like Halloween and Friday the 13th. And, you know, this was just a fantastic film that sort of just came into being because the director wanted to just be awesome. And so I do really like this film, not as much as zombie films, but I think it's a really interesting take on, what would you say, supernatural horror. Mm-hmm.
Right on. And Ethan, you just attended a 35th anniversary Evil Dead screening, right?
Yeah, the original. It was pretty dope. It was on whatever is the good kind of film, 35 millimeter. I don't know.
But hell yeah.
Yeah, all the film
it's
guys
gotta
in there.
It's got to be 35 or I won't even show up.
Yeah. all the film buffs in there were popping a boner when they said that, so I don't know what that means, but it was great. Nice old timey theater. It was.
Oh yeah, we say 35. We say 35 mil in the biz, you know.
Oh, okay. Writing that down right now.
Mm-hmm.
There you go. That's the way you sound legit.
Yeah, good. Take notes. Thank you. Mm-hmm.
And has anybody in here seen the remake before we decide to do this?
No.
Yes.
Ooh.
Oh, you had already, Adrian?
I have seen the remake, yes.
Mm-hmm. Oh, okay. Do you see it in theaters?
I did not. I saw it on DVD.
Oh, okay. So what did you think about it as an Evil... Did you see the original Evil Dead in theaters? Was it even allowed to be in theaters?
I did not. No, I think... What was that? Like 19... Was that 1980?
It was 81.
Yeah, so I was 6. I probably couldn't get into the theater by myself.
Okay.
But I did end up, I'm sure, watching it on VHS a whole lot.
Well, I was looking up stuff for this. I mean, this movie was had a hard time getting below like an X rating, and then getting below like getting just distribution, especially abroad. And it was apparently banned in Germany for like forever, and they just like cut the hell out of it to show it basically anywhere.
The original, really?
Yeah, actually watching it now, I kind of get it. Like, I thought that was kind of. We were talking about Dawn of the Dead 2 weeks ago and about how, you know, people would be, you know, really shocked by it. And it's hard to believe now. But this one, I mean, it's a disgusting movie.
That's true. But I guess I see it in such like kind of a goofy light that it's just kind of funny. It's like over the top and comical how gory it is. But I guess some people just have weak stomachs.
Yeah, some pussies. I mean, not me, obviously. I can understand though, how... No, not hard like us. But so, which can you, the synopsis is pretty much the same, right? I mean, Adrian, is this a pretty straightforward remake, the one that Fede Alvarez did?
I would say, I think personally, I just feel like there are basic elements that are easily comparable to the original. For example, you know, it's a bunch of teenagers going to a cabin and having shit happen to them. I mean, that's the basic premise. There are supernatural qualities to it. And, you know, there are similar aspects to the characters. There are a lot of throwbacks to the original. To be honest, I don't find that there is, in terms of quality, a real serious comparison for the new one versus the original. But, yeah, it's a it's kind of straightforward. It's I don't know. It's a very different beast.
It's funny because like even the director himself was really ambiguous whether or not it's like a remake or just like a continuation of the story. Because he was saying, I got this quote here. He sees it as a story that takes place 30 years after the original ended. But then he's kind of like wishy-washy.
Yeah, I had heard that. I'd heard that they wanted to make like a sequel to, I think, this one, and then do another one that tied in and had Ash and Mia team up.
Yeah, there's a lot of back and forth about that.
That, I guess, fell through, so they just did that Ash versus the Evil Dead show instead.
Yeah, something like that. Everything I read was kind of confusing.
Oh, I see, yeah. Of which I have not seen that. I don't know, have either of you guys seen that show?
No, we were talking about it earlier today. We think it's on Showtime or some fucking weird channel that nobody has.
It's on Stars.
Is it on Stars? Yeah. Fuck Stars, dude. Have you ever watched Stars even at like someone's house?
You know, watching these films really made me interested.
Like, I've never known anyone to subscribe to that channel.
Yeah, I thought I did, but then I realized I was thinking of Cinemax.
Cinemax, you mean?
Yeah, exactly. Only because they showed the softcore porns.
That's why.
That's a good show. Well, Ethan, Adrian, did you not like that, the remake? Just to get right down to brass tacks.
Sure. I would say that I wouldn't say I loathed it. It was more of a quiet burn. Like, god damn, this had so much potential. I remember Ash himself saying on Facebook and other social media saying this was the real deal. You know, people were not going to be disappointed. Don't worry, it's going to be awesome. I remember seeing posters out that were like, this is the fucking scariest movie you're ever going to fucking see. You know, it was like,
Adrian, are you aware that Ash is not a real person?
What do you mean?
I don't want to shatter that for you. You believe Ash to be a real person?
I do, and I am voting for him for president. And that's what I choose to believe. That's what I choose to believe. But I will tell you this. I really disliked the remake. I thought it was a pretty flimsy kind of gore porny, disgusting kind of rambling, boring film.
Oh my god, Ethan, really, what do you think about that? Do you agree with this man?
I'm gonna have to disagree with that man, actually. I would say it is like gorier than I like. It's a little gory porn, as I'm gonna call it from now on.
Yeah, that's actually a phrase, so you didn't coin that.
No, I just coined it, patent pending. I would say it was pretty good. I mean, maybe it's just because all the other remakes you've been watching recently have been shit, but I thought it did like enough.
So by comparison, it's amazing. Is that what you're saying?
Yeah, compared to Blair Witch and Nightmare on Elm Street, those dog turds on fire.
Okay, now it's making sense. I gotcha. I see what you're saying.
But no, I thought it was pretty good. Like I thought it did enough stuff differently. It wasn't heavy-handed with any of the homages or like callbacks to the original two. And it worked in its own way enough to make me realize or think like, yeah, this was a good reason to remake the movie. It wasn't just like, hey, let's just do it again with better effects. It's like, let's do it again with a different take on it. And I'll appreciate that.
Huh. Cool. Yeah, well, you know, I felt like the director, I felt like he really did have a lot of love for the original. And it's clear that he wanted to make an homage to the original. He wanted it to be something like the original. And I just, like, I feel like it just went, I mean, what can you say? The original was kind of this wham bam, let's get this thing done for like $50 and, you know, make the fucking best movie that we possibly can with, you know, beer money. And the one today is, I'm sure, made for hundreds of thousands. I don't know how much it cost, but I'm compared to other Hollywood movies, not as much. But at the same time, you know, you have a very, how would you say, it's having to deal with people who make a lot of money telling them what to do. Whereas I think the original Sam Raimi didn't have really anyone telling him what to do.
Yeah, I would say like where I stand on that is I felt like this movie, the remake, really won me over, and I can't remember the last time I was so won over by a movie in terms of how I felt about it at the beginning and how I felt about it at the end. The first act, I guess you could say, I really was not on board. I was off board the entire first act, and I mean, it's one of the weird things you go through. Now that we're watching this movie specifically for the podcast, and sometimes when I'm watching a movie, I can't shut my brain up about, like, oh, geez, this beginning, the mood is so, kind of boring. Oh, I don't care about any of these characters. I actually noticed, Ethan, you mentioned we were watching the Nightmare on Elm Street remake, that for some reason, inexplicably, horror movies always have someone drawing in charcoal now, and they do that in this movie.
Yeah, I noticed
The girl's drawing in charcoal at the beginning, and that lets you know that she's, like, dark and disturbed or whatever.
Yeah, she's
And
moody.
the only thing about, like, the first half hour or so, I mean, kind of, almost well into them, like, doing the possession plot, getting started, the only thing that I could say that I liked about it was I liked Mia as a character. And I thought she was interesting, and I thought it was a good idea, if you're going to do a movie about demonic possession, to include, like, I don't know if she was a heroin or a meth junkie, but that she's, going through withdrawals. So it's kind of like going to blur the lines of whether something is really happening versus whether, something demon possessed her. So it's just an interesting idea, but I really hated it for a long time. And I think I paused it or something sometime around the beginning and came back to it. But once it gets rolling, I really enjoyed it. And I think, Adrian, I'm sure you're a fan. You probably listened to episode 7, where we did a review of Don't Breathe by the same director, Fede Alvarez. And in that one, we talked about how, well, I guess I did, because Ethan hadn't seen it. He's got a really good sense of kind of creating a mousetrap, or a Rube Goldberg device of just, like, this, then this, because this leads to this. And it really kind of keeps you very in the moment. And I feel like if he teamed up with someone who knew how to, like, write the first act of a movie, he could make something really amazing. So that was the experience for me. I guess it was something between you guys. Was the beginning I hated, but by the end I was like, all right, that was pretty good. I will say, though, that I watched it before recapping the old. I watched Evil Dead 1 and 2 again, even though I'd seen them previously, but I didn't do that until after I'd seen this one. So after watching them, I'd feel a little more aware of the flaws of the new one, but on the whole, I thought it kind of returned to the feeling of being, like, not torture porn, but like being like squirming in my seat about, like, oh my God, that's disgusting, which I think is kind of what the original was going for.
Yeah, I think I agree with you mostly. It took a little bit of time to get going, and I was like pretty pissed off when it started because it's like I was like, God damn it, here's just another like campy movie, horror movie from the 80s that they just want to do like, oh, now it's gritty and real.
Yeah,
and
sucked all the fun out of it.
yeah, it's like, God, this is gonna be fucking such a chore to get through. And then like I mean throughout the entire movie the dialogue's kind of chunky, but like the first 30 minutes is just like, holy shit, this is some Campbell's chunky soup we're eating here. And the funniest thing I read here when I was reading the Wikipedia is, so Fede Alvarez and another guy co-wrote the script, but neither one of them are native English speakers,
All right.
so they sought to get the script doctored by Diablo Cody,
Oh, who you love.
who I fucking love, writer of Juno and other terrible American films.
That's kind of, I mean, isn't she supposed to? I've never seen one of her movies, but isn't she known for, like, snappy dialogue?
Well, yeah, but it's just so annoying. It's over the top.
But I didn't even
Well, I would
notice,
have
like,
preferred some snappiness
anything
in
that's
this movie, let
memorable.
me tell
Well,
you.
that's true.
That's what I'm
Yeah. This
saying.
movie had no snappiness. This was the opposite of snappy. It was so. I was just like, while I was watching it, I felt like if somebody would just come and cover me in like a bunch of like disgusting, tarry, gross shit from outside and just cover me with it. And for like an hour and a half, I felt like that's all this movie was. It was just like this gross shit all over you. there was no interesting aspect to it. I feel like the original, and maybe that's my problem, is I'm comparing the tone of the original to the tone of the remake. And the tone of the original is, for all intents and purposes, a cartoon. Yeah. I mean, it's a disgustingly gory cartoon, but you know right from the beginning, for like in Evil Dead 2, you're catapulted into this dimension of weird, hilarious, disgusting, cartoony craziness. Whereas I think like the remake was just so like, how can we get the viewer to gross out? How can we make this so disgusting that the viewer is going to be like, wow, that's really gross? But not really. The tone was so different from the original, where the Deadites kind of took pleasure in not even just physically torturing, but mentally torturing Ash and, you know, the people in the film. Whereas this one was more like, it was a little bit too serious. It was like Exorcist on meth. I just wasn't feeling it.
Well, even they pinched a line from The Exorcist, too, when he says, the girl tells David, your mother sucks cocks in hell. So obviously they were taking some notes. I know that when I was writing up my notes for whether it was a straightforward remake, I said, yes, it's very straightforward plot-wise, but tone-wise, it's not at all. It's right. Yes. It is a lot more serious. The one thing I liked and what gave me hope early on was when the girl comes back after she, I don't know why they repeated the tree rape thing. It's like the one thing you'd think they'd remove.
Oh, God.
But, So they do like that. She comes back. Thing. Yeah. She tells her brother, we've got to get out of here. And for one thing, I like that actress, Jane Levy, actually. She's got like huge golem eyes, which I think worked really well for this movie.
Yeah, she kills it.
But when she says, we've got to get out of here, and then she looks at the mirror, and they almost go, they show like the evil version of her or whatever in the mirror, and it zooms in like really fast, and it almost does like a dun dun dun. It's like this kind of over the top comic book style blaring alarm, and I was like, oh, that's actually good. That, you know, that I want it to be funnier. I want it to be more like over the top. And I do think that, I mean, even though it was done a little more straight-faced, I do think that the whole, you know, carnival of gore that happens throughout the rest of the movie, even though it's done with a straight face, I think it is kind of kooky just in how ridiculously over the top. The girl cutting her arm off with a turkey automatic slicer, the nail gun thing. It was, I mean, it made me squirm a lot in, you know, when the girl bifurcates her tongue on the box cutter is disgusting, but I think there was a bit of a kookiness to it, even though it was not nearly as kooky as, especially Evil Dead 2, but not even Evil Dead 1.
I see.
It's a good word of the day there, bifurcated.
Yeah.
I don't know. I didn't get any kook really from the new one, which, I mean, I guess that was kind of my problem for the first 30 minutes. I was like waiting for that, and then I guess I kind of just let that go, and then I was like, okay, this is just like a pretty good, like, intense horror movie. Kind of to your point earlier about, you know, Fede Alvarez with the Don't Breathe, he sets up kind of the mousetrap. One of the first things I noted that I liked about it is he does seem to, like, explore the space really well. Like, every nook and cranny of the cabin kind of gets used. Like, even the bathroom. They're in the bathroom. There's, like, the shed, and there's, like, a tunnel under the shed. So you got a really good idea for like almost the layout of the house, which I don't know, I like that because then it just helps build the picture in my head. It's like when you're reading a book and then they like explain a creature.
Fuck books.
Yeah, books are not hard. Hard men don't read books. But if you are going to read a book, it's nice when they include pictures, is what I was trying to say.
yeah, the hard men are all about picture books.
Yeah, we like the visual.
Well,
yeah,
guys, if we're throwing out compliments, I do have to say I really enjoyed the camera work in this movie, the remake. I felt like it had a lot of interesting angles. And I think with some horror, it's pretty straightforward. I mean, they're long shots and sometimes they're close-up shots. But this one was a little experimental in all the different type of angles throughout the film. I thought they were really effective for what it was worth. I don't know. What did you guys think? Did you guys notice any of the angles themselves? It was just a very interesting way of making this film in the way he made the camera kind of accentuate the craziness of it all.
Mm-hmm. Well, I think that's something that if it's one of those things that if you're remaking Evil Dead, you'd think, all right, what are the essential elements on paper? But I mean, if you're not going to try to replicate or at least take a note from the camera work that Sam Raimi had for Evil Dead 1 and again, especially 2, I mean, his camera is like an incredibly active part of those movies, and it really heightens the manic kind of mood of them.
Yeah, although
I had a question for you guys, and I guess I'll toss it to Adrian first, but would you consider Evil Dead 2 a remake itself?
Wow, that's a good question. I would say yes. I mean, I feel kind of like it, like some other sequels as well. It kind of takes what was great about the original and it just adds on to it. And it just adds another layer, another, you know, however, I'm not sure what the length of time was between the films, but it's clear to me that Sam Raimi got some really good experience. I'm sure he learned a lot making the first film and the experimental film he did before that, in which, you know, Evil Dead 1 is based on. You know, he learned a lot. He added a lot. It seemed a bit more polished. It looked better. The effects were better. So I feel like it was, and I think it was for the best.
Well, plus Bruce Campbell got so much more handsome between them.
Yeah, that's what I was thinking. when we were setting this up, I remembered it being more like of a straightforward, just like almost a shot for shot remake between Evil Dead 1 and 2. But watching it again, I didn't realize that it kind of just does like a quick, like kind of weird recap, but like shot differently.
Yeah.
And then it kind of, I guess, supposedly continues from there. So I think in his eye, it was supposed to be a sequel. In like Sam Raimi's eyes, although it does kind of copy a lot of the same moves, so it's just kind of a very weird remake, which I kind of think is interesting. Like you don't have.
Yeah, I do remember when I first saw Evil Dead. I had, you know, you have those like mental images of what a movie is just from like cultural, you know, what you've picked up. And so when I saw the first Evil Dead, I had the whole like hand cutting off, you know, chainsaw hand kind of thing in my head, and I was really pissed off when it didn't happen. And then found out that like that's all in Evil Dead 2. And in a way, I like Evil Dead actually, and I think it has elements that are really good that aren't in Evil Dead 2. But I mean, Evil Dead 2 is kind of like almost standalone. You can kind of watch it without having seen the first one, and it probably has most of what anyone would like remember about Evil Dead when you say Evil Dead.
Yeah. I joked even on the last podcast, I think I wasn't even planning on seeing the original Evil Dead because I was like, well, I might as well watch the second one because it's the same thing, but with all the good stuff. But having watched it again, I think I like the first one. I think it's a better movie.
Oh, yeah.
It's hard to tell what you like more.
Oh, really? That's cool.
Yeah, I mean, I think 2 is definitely more fun, but like one does a really good job like setting up the like moments of horror and kind of metering it out a little bit more, so they have a little more punch. Where like Evil Dead 2 is just like here's just Bruce Campbell like just going nuts for, you know, 90 minutes, and it just ramped up from the beginning.
Yeah, I think Evil Dead 2 has the better first half, or at least first act. I mean, it's instantly good, whereas Evil Dead 1 takes a while because you're just watching a couple dicks, you know, before things go nuts. I mean, Evil Dead 2 is instantly amazing, and it's so, like, I was laughing out loud when Linda's disembodied head was, like, latched onto his hand, and it's just him kind of doing a one-man show of, like, flailing around, knocking it against stuff, and he does kind of the same thing when his hand gets possessed, and it's just him going nuts. And actually, I forgot, I don't think I'd seen the rest of the movie initially. I think I saw just that first bit with him alone, so I'm glad I rewatched it to get everything. But I mean, that to me is just kind of like it's so good.
Yeah, it's a lot jokier, a lot cartoonish.
Well, if we can talk about the original just just for a second, you guys, and we had kind of touched on this before, but what did you both think? And you guys both said you brushed up on the original, but we were talking about the tree rape scene, and you know, I hadn't seen that movie for quite a while, and I really didn't remember it. And having rewatched it, I just felt super uncomfortable. I felt, I felt also violated, just like she was in the movie. It was almost stag film like very odd. What an odd addition to this film. And in the remake, I like you said, why in the fuck? Who in the fucking boardroom was like, we really need that tree rape scene back? Like, very excited for a girl to get raped by a tree. What the fuck? Why?
Yeah.
Well, I think maybe Sam Raimi wanted to bring tentacle rape to a Western audience. I mean, he's trying to think of a way to do it.
He did.
So, yeah, success to him on that one. I found it very weird. I found it weird because it's also, there are parts of that scene that, like, for just a few seconds, you can't tell if it's shifting into then she's enjoying it, which is, like, makes it even worse.
Right. Really, really bad. I hated that. And oddly enough, in the, they have the in the cellar, there's a ripped up poster of The Hills Have Eyes, which the remake, I never saw the original, but the remake has by far the worst rape scene I've ever had the unfortunate chance to see. So
Let's jump on that. What would you say is the best rape scene that you've had the chance to see?
Yeah.
I knew you were going to do that.
Oh, boy.
One thing I liked about the old one that I didn't like about the new one, that was kind of missing in the new one, there were two things, I guess. One was the old one really had a really weird a kind of a soft or vague notion of the demons, in terms of, like, the new one, basically, as soon as someone becomes a demon, everyone's kind of on high alert, and it's like the demon starts attacking them and they start doing something. In the first Evil Dead, they had Linda becomes a demon and she's just sitting there, like, singing to them, and they don't really do anything. They're just like, oh, we'll deal with that later. we got something going on over here.
Yeah.
And she kind of can taunt him, and it's kind of creepier in a way because you know something bad's going to happen, but you kind of get a sense that they're maybe hemmed in a little bit by, like, their just human decency and not wanting to bash someone's head in. But the other thing they did was they had that, like, a really weird notion of safety that kind of reminded me of, like, old notions of, like, how a vampire can't enter your house unless you invite them, because they have this, like, completely unfortified cabin. But the zombies kind of, or the deadites, kind of can't get in as long as they close the door, basically, even though they can punch through wood.
Yeah.
Yeah, and the windows are huge and broken.
Yeah, so it's a really weird sense of, like, but it put you in this weird space where you kind of felt like it had, there were, like, really vague notions of safety for them, you know?
Yeah, and that was what's interesting about the remake. Like I was saying, they explore the cabin a lot, but I feel like they didn't explore the woods around it as much as the originals did.
No, I don't think anyone was stuck outside at any point in it.
No, I mean, yeah, once Mia, the main girl, gets back after the tree rape, they don't really go outside at all, I don't think. So, yeah.
Yeah, I don't think so. They kind of missed that element, which I think is a very creepy element of something being outside your house that you don't want to be in.
Yeah, and they also didn't really explore as much that, like, I don't know, there was something about in the originals where it was, like, kind of like forever night outside. And, I mean, that just plays in everyone's fear of, like, you know, the darkness outside. But the remake, yeah, they didn't really explore too much about, like, the darkness you can't really see outside or anything like that. There's just, you're always indoors.
Well, I think one of the most striking scenes in Evil Dead 2 was the bridge, and how when they get to the bridge, it's completely torn up and it's facing toward the sky as if something beneath it had just destroyed it and pushed it upward in this violent fashion. And I remember when I originally saw that, I thought, oh my fucking god, whatever this is has the ability to lift up a goddamn bridge, tear it to shreds, lift it upwards on both sides, and it's after these guys. And when I saw it again, I just thought, this is such a beautiful shot. And I wondered if it was done, like maybe if it was a matte painting or what, but that also brings to attention the question of, you know, what in this modern age of horror, is it better to use CGI or is it better to use more, you know, real life props, blood and puppets and etc. And I think that's something that both of those films did very well. And I have to give a lot of props to the remake, because it clearly used a lot of real life things in the movie, where it was like real blood, it's like real things falling out of their mouths. Not everything is all, you know, made on the computer. And I really got to give props to both of those films.
Props to the props.
Props to the props.
Yeah, I mean, because we were talking about, you know, which remakes didn't work. And there's that scene in A Nightmare on Elm Street where Freddy punches right through the Green Day guy's chest. Like, right at the camera. So I don't know if it was, like, you know, released in 3D or something initially.
I was going to say
such
that.
It's just such, like, a wet fart moment. It's just like, oh, okay. Yeah. Like, that was going to happen. Right. Whereas, I mean, I really felt, especially towards the climax when Mia is hiding from the... Is that like supposed to be a demon version of her?
Yeah.
It's supposed to be her, right? So, and it starts stabbing...
The abomination, Mia.
Yeah, Obama's nation. It starts stabbing the machete through the, like, through the cabinets at her, and it, like, catches her leg on it and pulls it back, and it's like that, and the, you know, like I said,
so
the...
slow.
Yeah, and the box cutter scene... It made me realize, like, I mean, I feel like slasher flicks are so often extremely boring, and I think it takes real skill to make you feel the stabs, you know, make you feel it instead of just, oh, I'm swinging my sword, and, you know, or whatever machete I've got at you and cutting you up.
Yeah.
It's just weird that I didn't feel it at all in, like, A Nightmare on Elm Street remake, for instance, but I felt it a lot in this.
Yeah, you can have the tactile feel of it. The worst for me was the guy gets the needle, like, right below his eye.
Oh, God,
and he pulls it out. Oh, so terrible.
And just hearing the sound, you don't even have to see it, hearing the sound of the girl sawing her face off because you know what she's doing, and knowing she's using broken glass to do it is, like, that I feel like is pretty good to be able to, like, really make you squirm in your seat and not even showing anything.
Yeah, for how gory it was, there were times where they showed some restraint, like that part. Even like when the...
Well, I don't think that was about restraint, though. I think that was about building tension. I think it would have been...
Well, yeah.
I don't think it would have been as big a deal to show... Oh, so you mean restraint in a good way.
Right, right. Like, I feel like most remake or, like, gore porn movies you'd see would just really emphasize just showing, like, every moment of cutting skin. It's like, we got to fill all this in here.
Yes.
But, like, that part, they
so
kind
like
of
So, like, something
were...
like Saw or Hostel.
Right. They, like, zoom in real tight and, like, always have to show it. But, yeah, that scene, they got the point across with just the sound effects.
Yeah.
Which I think that's actually pretty awesome. Hold on one second. I just lost my fucking train of thought. God damn it, it was such a great point. Well, it's gone forever. Thanks a lot.
We'll get it.
Gone forever.
Was it about restraint?
Was it about all the noises that happen in bathrooms?
It was, what the fuck was it? It was so damn good, I was just going to say. Okay, anyway, moving on.
Yeah, moving on. I would say one thing also that I did like more about the originals than new. And I feel like it's just part of, like, it's almost, you know, like we've been talking about, there's something about removing something from its, like, campy, you know, 80s origins and putting it in, like, the, you know, it's almost like we're watching the real world version of it. Like, oh, here's now, it's, this is, if it, you know, like the Batman Begins version, you know, this is the Christopher Nolan version. It's the, you know, we're stripping away all the silly camp. This is if it was in real life. And I feel like the baggage that comes with that is you get that whole really long, annoying scene, or not scene, but like an entire, like, portion of the movie. There's the entire portion of the movie where basically they're just kind of deciding whether they believe what's going on or not, It's like, mm-hmm. oh, I think this might be the related to the Book of the Dead. And he's like, no, he's just, you're imagining it. Everything's fine. And it's like, I always hate that scene in movies. And I feel like it's always the result of the screenwriter not knowing how to build a world where what's happening in their movie makes sense so that you can just move on.
Right. Yeah, because it's a real world.
Yeah, I feel like the characters not accepting it is like a kind of a symptom of the script not being written in a way that what they've made happen makes sense within the world they built, you know?
Right. No, I see that. So, and I think that was one of the biggest qualms I had with the film was that the remake is that I felt like people were just doing so many stupid things. They should have gotten the fuck out of there the minute they saw like dead cats hanging from the ceiling. Okay.
When they, well, that was weird that no one smelled the cats.
When you see shit like that, you just go. You get in the car and you go. You walk if you have to. But then do you guys see what I'm saying? You know, it's like in the original, they weren't going anywhere because they couldn't. The bridge was out. There's demons all over the place. Shit's happening. And in this one, they're like, I don't really believe anything bad could happen. I guess I'll just recite all these magical lines and hopefully nothing happens. You know, give me a break.
Yeah, I thought that was extra dumb that they had the guy reciting the lines because there's really no reason for him to do it because he's like alone. So like, you don't have to read out loud, dude. Like, you're an adult.
Point. That's a great point.
Yeah, that's weird. I think what they tried, I don't know, because it's strange too, because he does it right after reading in the book, says, do not read these out loud. So, like, I think maybe they were trying to be like, well, since he read that, you know, like when you tell a kid not to do something, that's all they want to do.
Yeah, but they had to characterize him better to, like, to give a reason why he was the kind of person who would do that. Like, that just seemed so arbitrary. Like, any character in that hotel or in the shack could have done that. It didn't have to be him. And that's why it kind of annoyed me.
Right.
I did like, though, Adrian, to your point, I liked the fact that they included the girl. And again, maybe this is all a bunch of stuff that's kind of good, but it doesn't work and they should have gotten rid of it. But I liked that the fact that because they included the plot of she's trying to recover from her drug addiction, they have a kind of a built-in, we can't leave. And we kind of have to disregard what this one character's saying. I think that was a good solution to what happens in a lot of movies where you have to make people act stupidly skeptical of stuff.
Right.
And you also have to make other characters act dumb.
I think you're right. I think it's a great idea. And I still feel like even though, you know, yeah, she had to go through rehab and, you know, if they didn't do it this time, my God, maybe she was going to like relapse and who knows what's going to happen later. But still, I mean, shit, I you know, I love my friends and all, but come on, man. It seemed like they
well, I liked when she stole the car, what you could imagine. And what I was imagining is like she steals the car and then she drives immediately into a swamp. And it's like that could be like just the story of your junkie sister, your junkie friend. You know, you get back from the weekend, you're like, you wouldn't believe what she fucking did because she's so messed up. But again, I agree. I think the problem that puts you in is that puts you back in the box of now all these hyper-rational characters have to really go against the grain to accept what's happening right in front of their eyes.
For both of the movies, and actually for horror movies in general, I want to feel like, what did you guys feel about the likability of the characters and how they were in both films? And if you think that has an effect on how much you enjoy the film. For example, like me, if I like the characters, I'm rooting for them to live. I want for them to get through. I want for them to fight Freddy Krueger. I want for them to take out Jason. You know, I want the problem with that is if your characters aren't interesting enough or they're too stupid or they're very annoying, you really want for the villain to win. And I don't think that that's what a director wants, but that's how I felt about the remake.
Yeah. Yeah, no, I'll agree with you. I don't know if I really gave a shit about any of the characters in the new one. Like, I liked the actress playing Mia. She was really good. She was a good actor. But what's funny about the new one, so they have, what, five people? Two guys, three girls. And the main guy brings his girlfriend along. And, like, that character says something to introduce herself. And then she doesn't, I don't think she's on screen again for, like, 30 minutes. to the point where I was like, why is she even here?
The girl cut her hand off?
Yeah, she cuts her arm off eventually. And it, like, she's just like not even in a shot. I was like, where is she? Like, no one gives a shit about her. And that's then, funny. I mean, I think her character was kind of just, I guess, so they could have another person to kill and another person who could do like the arm cutting off homage. So I think she was kind of pointless, but I mean, the old ones, yeah. I don't know if I cared about anyone other than Bruce Campbell, but that's fine.
Now, that was well, enough
that's,
for me,
I mean, that's
though.
The thing. I mean, yeah, you know, Bruce Campbell is so likable. I was watching it and I was just like, he's at like I was watching a recent movie that wasn't that good, but it had Nick Cage in it. And it's just like, it's impossible to be bored when Nick Cage is on screen. Cause he's like, so he's just kind of interesting, you know, just right. like his face and like the decisions he makes. And Bruce Campbell is that same kind of actor where, I mean, he's not a good actor. I mean, in, I think both of the first two movies, I think he was probably the least skilled at making you believe he was really who he was, but he's so like magnetic. It's like, you can't, every time he's on screen, it's interesting watching him. And so I wouldn't say anyone in the new movies was like that. Although what I thought the movie did well was it did flip. And I think that actually Bruce Campbell was not on board with the remake until they said they weren't going to recast Ash, which I agree with him. I think that was a good idea. And I think that the Mia character was the only one I liked early on. And it was to the point that even well late into the movie, I was kind of like mentally resisting seeing David as like the hero of the story. Cause he was just, he just wasn't, you know, he just wasn't the hero of the story.
I agree.
Yeah. He was boring. And it was, and I think that could have been a real mistake, but then the fact that they then reveal, oh, Mia is kind of, they're kind of splitting the parts between he's, or she's playing both. Was it Cheryl or Shelley that was the sister in the first movie?
Oh, was a sister?
Very similar names. Yeah, the first girl, the girl who gets raped by the tree is Ash's sister. Oh. And so they kind of...
Oh, is that it?
Yeah. It's really subtle. And although, you know, in the remake, as soon as David shows up, she's like, oh, I'll be... Like, who says I'll be damned anymore? She's like, I'll be damned. You did show up. And he's like, well... I am your brother, so I have to. And I remember thinking, like, you could have let me not know that these guys were siblings for a while, and that'd be fine. But then I watched Evil Dead again. I'm like, oh, geez, I didn't know that was his sister.
Well, that was what I noticed that, too. And it's stupid, because in the very next scene, they have the long talk about their mother. So it's like...
I know, dude. I know.
It's so stupid.
Well, I was thinking that that's one of those, like, mini points where it's like, all right, here's two ways to fix it. One, just say... Instead of saying she's waiting for you, just say your sister's around back, yeah. And then you don't have to say it. Or if you want to do that stupid pronoun game of, oh, she's waiting for you, to like, oh, what's going on? They have some kind of special relationship. Save that until they do the mom talk. Yeah. Like one or the other. Are you trying to drag it out? If you're trying to drag it out, it can wait until the mom talk. If you're not trying to drag it out, just say your sister's around back. He doesn't always say, hey, I'm related to you by mother.
By blood. No, yeah. You're right. The best way to do it is to say, have the guy say your sister's around back, because that entire conversation they have is like kind of weird for a brother and sister. It's like kind of sexual. So I'm partly glad that he said that I am your brother, because there it's just like he's like, oh, you look so beautiful or something, and then he gives her like a kind of a romantic gift.
And then
gift.
Like he like bites his bottom lip. So, you looking good, girl.
Well.
Okay, well, why don't we move on? So, so which was better? Do you guys have opinion? Adrian, I think we know what you think.
I think so.
Well, yeah. Actually, let's do this, though. Adrian, out of all three, Evil Dead 1, 2, and the remake, which one was the best?
Oh, for sure, 2, in my opinion. I think, like I said, I think 2 is just more of a polished film where the director had more experience and those working on the set and on the effects had more experience, and that's my opinion. The remake, I felt like if it hadn't been called Evil Dead, maybe actually I would have had a better opinion of it. Maybe not, because I do find the characters extremely annoying, but if it hadn't been called Evil Dead, maybe I actually would have liked it more, now that I think about it.
What about you, Eth? Which is the best out of the three?
All right, I'm going to give you a roundabout answer here. So I'll say...
That's what we like.
I'll say the original Evil Dead is probably the best movie in the sense that, like, how I define a movie. It's just, like, it's spaced well and it's compacted well. So I would say that's probably the best, like, pure movie. Evil Dead 2 is definitely the most fun and, like, probably the only one I would want to ever watch again. Well, no, I'd watch the first one again. But the remake is probably the best, like, horror movie of the three. Because it obviously takes away all the humor. So it's just kind of, like, pure dag nasty, scary, and gruesome. So I don't know if that answers your question.
Nope. Not even a little bit.
Well, what did you think, Jared?
I think it's... I've always thought of Evil Dead 2 as the best. And I think part of that is that it is just a better made film. I think the first one has maybe the best mood. I mean, one thing that doesn't sit well with me in Evil Dead 2 is all the dickheads who join Ash afterwards are... I think they're kind of a poor replacement for him going there with his friends and watching his friends become, you know, demon possessed and having to kill them. So I think the first one has something special with that. And I think also it has, so it's got kind of just like a more disturbing nature. And I think it has
the first
maybe
one.
A better ending, but sometimes it can be kind of, I can be kind of like, I don't know, when a movie doesn't end, but it sets up another movie. Sometimes that like flares my like autism or whatever, and I'm like, that's not a real ending, that's just a setup for another movie.
Yeah,
I like the ending for the first one the best, though.
The ending for the first one was, I thought it was pretty good. I thought the whole necklace thing using as a rope was kind of dumb, but it was still pretty cool. And I guess what I liked also about the old ones was there was such a weird sense of when something was dead and when it wasn't, and I think the first one did that best. It was just such a weird, I mean, it almost doesn't conform to, like, a narrative structure, because it's just these things coming after him, and he, you know, he comes up with a way to kill him, and then they're still not dead, and then he tries to come up with a way to kill him, and they're still not dead, and it's, like, just, like, endless. I mean, like, I guess they're not joking when they say it's, like, a grueling experience in terror.
I agree. It's
and
so
the new one is
the
a lot more.
The rules are uneven. The rules are uneven all over the place.
I like that.
At one point, I think he shoots a demon in the head, and it looks like fire came out of it, like it was like sparks came out of it. I'm like, is this thing wood? Like, why are there sparks flying out of this thing? And he'll chop the head off, and it'll be dead, and then the eyes will open, and the head will like get up on itself and start, you know, using like its eyelashes to like crawl over to Ash. And I'm like, well, there's no rules here. It's just like it can be anything at any time. And that to me was really unnerving. And the remake was more like straightforward. All right, she's possessed by a demon, so she's coming after you. Whereas in the original, you know, it could have been a paper towel rack. It literally could have been anything.
What drove me, well, not drove me nuts, but what I love about the original, and it's really impressive to me that it works, because I feel like it's, you know, that old saying about like how aerodynamically a bee shouldn't be able to fly, but it does anyway. It seems like by the rules of like any kind of like script writing or like movie making, like the first two movies really shouldn't work, and yet they kind of do for some reason. And I think that all that vagueness helps when you compare it to like zombie movies. It's like, all right, if you're not bit and you're not scratched, you're fine. This one, it was like, you know, if you got stabbed by a pencil, then maybe that wound would still, for whatever reason, just being, I think the rich douche guy in the Evil Dead 2, I think the demon just grabs his face and like throws him. And that's kind of like enough interaction. So it kind of has that like Middle Ages sense of like whether witchcraft passes from person to person that makes it, like you said, it's like really unnerving because you don't have any rules that you can know and kind of rely
on.
That's
a good point.
Yeah. And in the remake, the newest one, they kind of try to set rules. Like, they even set up, like, the different ways that they're killing themselves. They show it in the book.
I kind of did like that just because of how creepy those drawings were.
Yeah, the drawings are great. I do like that. But, yeah, it is kind of weird because I think they specifically mentioned, like, the only way to kill it is to dismember it completely, bury it alive, or burn it. But then his girlfriend, when she's got the nail gun and everything, he just blows her arm off, and then she's dead. Like, that's not a full dismemberment.
Yeah, I actually almost wanted to rewatch it I was confused about why I forgot whether she had died that way or not.
Yeah. So that was, if you're going to like specify the rules that much, then it is weird to not follow them. But it wouldn't be that hard to follow them.
Well, I also was confused because they said you had to eat five souls. It had to consume five souls to bring back the abomination. I thought there was only four. Or did that girl in the prologue count? Or did Mia herself count?
Yeah, they are. Well, yeah.
I wasn't sure. I was really confused about that.
Well, no.
Did Grandpa the dog count?
Yeah, no love for Grandpa the dog.
Oh, well, I couldn't tell you the details about that movie. I was bored and disgusted while I was watching it, so I really wasn't retaining all the information that I should have. Gosh, I felt like a Debbie Downer on this film. It was actually all right. It wasn't actually awful. It was all right. You know, it was fine. But I'll tell you what. I'll tell you what, guys. And I did this in the last podcast. If you want to see a great horror movie in the vein of Evil Dead that is not this remake, have you guys seen Brain Dead by Peter Jackson?
No.
All right, turn off this podcast. Go watch it.
All right.
And if you guys, I want you guys seriously to try and watch it and tell me what you think. But it is Evil Dead in Australia. Okay? So, like, if it was just this dude gets bitten by this Sumatran, I forgot what it's called, like a devil rat. And then he gets infected and just like shit goes from there. It's just out of control. It's considered one of the most glorious films ever created. It's hilarious. It's raunchy. It's weird. And it is Evil Dead to the extreme. Whereas this remake was more like, it was just a wet fart.
Was that the one with the lawnmower scene?
Yes, exactly.
Okay. Yeah, I've been meaning to watch that. Just yeah, if I remember for that scene,
it's not. Oh, you know, it's New Zealand. I don't think it's Australia, but close enough.
Right? Yeah, they're racist.
But anywho, I would suggest anybody out there listening to the can't podcast, tell them apart. Millennials, I don't know. You guys aren't even millennials, and you haven't watched it. If you haven't watched it, please, you owe it to yourself to just give it a try, because I think it's a fantastic film, and I just don't think that the remake could possibly live up to the original.
I'm sold.
All right.
One thing I will say too, if you didn't like this remake, I think kind of a spiritual remake to Evil Dead is a Cabin in the Woods. Have either of you guys seen that?
Oh yeah,
I haven't. I've been meaning to see that. I want to see it this Halloween, but now I'm burnt out on Halloween, like horror movies.
Yeah, save it for next Halloween maybe. But it takes all kind of the basic like pieces and then just turns it really, you know, kind of meta. So,
but it is very meta. Yes.
I was trying to think, like, yeah. Oh, you have seen it, Adrian?
Oh, it's one of my favorite horror films. And I think watching that, if you saw Cabin in the Woods before you saw Evil Dead remake, it would, I think, take all the wind out of Evil Dead sails, because it essentially, you know, brings up kind of a lot of the themes of modern horror, a lot of the aspects of modern horror that are very, you know, it clearly lays out, you know, rules that horror movies go by. So yeah, it is very meta. And if you go by that and the rules that it's stating, Evil Dead kind of seems like, wow, this is exactly what Cabin in the Woods was talking about. So I don't know. What do you think, Ethan?
Well, yeah, I was going to say, I would say it's, I kind of always almost saw it as like a movie made by people who probably just loved Evil Dead. And I was wondering too, like, is Evil Dead, are those kind of the first horror movies to focus on the cabin in the woods as the setting?
That is a good question. I couldn't think of that.
I have no idea.
Cabin, you mean specifically the trope of being in a kids being in a cabin and getting, you know, killed, etc.?
Yeah, like kids going off to party in the middle of nowhere. It's typically a cabin in the woods, and then yeah, shit happens. I don't know if that's,
that makes me
maybe
wonder,
it's the first one to like strictly set the whole movie there.
Yeah,
Yeah, so, but which came first, Friday the 13th or Evil Dead? Because, of course, Friday the 13th is all about being in cabins in the woods. So that's
That's
a good
true.
question. That's a good question. But even before that, you know, I can't really, maybe, no, Sleepaway Camp, I think, was like 1982, I want to say. And so I think once Friday the 13th
Friday the
caught.
13th was 1980.
Okay.
So they were
Okay.
made probably around the same time because Evil Dead took like oh well over a year to like finish because they kept running out of money. But this one came out a year ahead of time.
So with the success, the absolute success of Friday the 13th on a shoestring budget, I mean, horror movies kind of blossomed at that point. You had other movies like Halloween and Texas Chainsaw Massacre and The Last House on the Left, and I think that was inspirational, but I think with the financial, amazing financial success of Friday the 13th, I think that's when you kind of started to bloom this theme of kids, teenagers essentially being killed by slashers. Particularly in the woods, well, I would say Friday the 13th had a lot to do with that.
Okay.
Well, what would you guys say? Oh, go ahead, Heath.
No, I was just gonna say, how good is Friday the 13th Part 8, Jason Takes Manhattan?
Oh man, is it better than the Muppets in Manhattan? I
No,
won't
no, it's
guarantee it,
not.
but
It's not at all. It's not as scary either.
not a chance. What would you guys say as far as these three movies? Who was the hardest man? And Adrian, we want to specify. Ethan let you interpret as needed, but that doesn't mean the guy who you'd want to get hard with.
What? Well, why not?
Hey, those aren't my rules. You can do whatever you want.
Well, yeah, I mean, I guess one goes with the other, right? I mean, the hardest man's going to be the one that you go
Look,
for.
Ash, which is his real name, he's so amazingly hot. It's ridiculous. It's like you could sharpen your knife on his stubble. That's how manly he is. That's what a fucking badass he is, okay? Dude gets his hand chopped off and he becomes like Mega Man. You can stick anything on that thing. A hook, a chainsaw, a machine gun. It doesn't matter. He's gonna fucking come through. And you know what? He's probably great in the sack too. I guarantee it.
Yeah, that's
Should we just
guaranteed.
transition this to just hottest boy?
Now,
Hardest
did that
man,
answer your
hottest
question,
boy.
or what was the original question?
No, you nailed
The
it.
hardest man.
You nailed
Yeah.
it.
Ethan,
Oh,
what is
good.
your call on this one?
Well, yeah, I mean, it's obviously Bruce Campbell. He, or Ash, Bruce Campbell. He he seems like every
Yeah, who's Bruce Campbell?
Like, if you went to a lab and you're like, I'm gonna make a handsome leading actor for a movie, it's like, let me give him like 100 points into chin, and
Yeah.
boom, we're done.
It's actually a shame that he was not in like one of those like Cool World movies, like a movie where he was like a comic book hero that then came to life, because that's what he looks like, and it works so well in the movie because like just his eyes look almost like Pee-wee's eyes in Pee-wee's Big Adventure when he's like walking around in the dark and all you see is the whites of his eyes. They're like very distinct.
Well, why wasn't he more popular, in my opinion? You know, in the advancement of comic book movies in the late 90s, early 2000s, and even till now, what happened? Why wasn't he fucking Batman or
Yeah,
something?
that's
You
kind of
know,
weird. I
it's,
mean,
I feel
he's
like.
tight with Sam Raimi. He made it into every Spider-Man movie.
Yeah, why wasn't he
Right,
Marv in
why
Sin
wasn't
City?
he a villain, if nothing?
Yeah. And well, he had a long run on that, what was a spy TV show on USA? Burn Notice.
Burn Notice. Yeah, our parents'
Yeah, his
favorite.
schedule was all busy with that.
It's just odd how he didn't become, you know, a household name.
Yeah, I was gonna say shout out to Grandpa the dog, because I really wish that dog was more involved in the movie. There's really not,
Yeah, that dog was kind of like the blonde. He's just brought there to get killed.
yeah, not too much point.
pretty much.
But Grandpa is a good name for a dog, though,
Yeah,
I will
they
say.
were all pretty
Yeah, that's
much, they're just demon fodder. I mean, all of them. That's all they really were. And sometimes that's okay. Sometimes it's all
Yeah.
right to fire up a movie for me, typically it is Friday the 13th, and I'm like, all right, these kids are just here to just get an axe in the forehead, and I'm fine with that. And sometimes you get a great heroine who just happens to have psychic powers, Friday the 13th, Part 7, and then they fucking, she goes Akira on him, and there's, like, nails flying. That's awesome to me. That's a fun, exciting surprise. In this one, there were no surprises, just a bunch of boring, flaccid men and a bunch of lame ladies getting murdered by demons.
Well, I would disagree. I would say an honorable mention would go to Mia. I thought her character was pretty tough. I mean, she ripped her hand off under a truck.
That was baller.
And I really hated that they didn't. I rewound it twice because the demon says something like, I'm going to take you to hell. And she says some throwaway line, fucking Diablo Cody, gets your fucking act together. Something like, I'm tired of this shit. When she should have been like, I've been through worse. Or something, you know, referencing the fact that she's a junkie. Because, I mean, nothing's tougher than a junkie.
Because he calls her a junkie.
Like, you know, when Dave Chappelle did the, what's it called, Fear Factor? And he was
Tyrone.
He was just like taking a nap in the Tyrone's taking a nap in the bugs, and he's just eating as much brains as they'll give him, even after he's won.
Yeah, nothing stronger than a junkie.
Yeah. We got to put a cap on this month. We did remakes or much later sequels of The Blair Witch Project and Blair Witch. Then we did Dawn of the Dead and its remake. Then we did Nightmare on Elm Street and its remake. And then we did Evil Dead and its remake and its arguable remake / sequel, Evil Dead 2. So I was wondering why some worked and some didn't. Did you have any theories on that, Adrian?
You mean for remakes in general?
You only were here for Dawn of the Dead, but we agreed that that one worked. Well, we agreed that Dawn of the Dead remake, I think out of all of these, was that the only one that worked for all of us? I liked this one, but...
Yeah, I think so.
I definitely liked it, and I think that is an exception in a huge ocean of remakes that in the past, 15, 20 years have, I think for the most part have been mostly listening to, the corporate executives who are telling them what a horror movie should be. And I think in order to kind of cheat the system in terms of not having long shoots, in terms of not having to spend money on puppetry and blood and et cetera, I think the reliance on CGI for me has been such a turnoff for horror in the past, 15 years, that I rarely get excited about a horror movie. I think, and not to mention remakes. So I think you just kind of have not directors that aren't as good mixed in with lazy filmmaking, in my opinion. What do you guys think?
I think from what we've seen here, I think the remakes that we watched that worked did a good job of just nailing down kind of the core elements of what made the originals good, and then did enough to stand alone or make themselves stand apart a little bit. Especially this one, which is why I thought it worked pretty well. I mean, it has its flaws, but they take the original idea of just kids going out to a cabin and then disturbing a demon, and then the writer-director put in thought to more thought into the reasons why they'd be there. So the girl's a junkie. She's trying to quit cold turkey. And then that's why they have to stay. And he just put a lot of thought into other avenues to take that basic premise. And then, especially in this one, they really ramped up what needed to be ramped up, which is kind of the action. So this one goes all the way to having the final showdown against the abomination. And, I mean, I think that's what would make them work. Dawn of the Dead worked the same way because it didn't try to just, ape the original, but it kept the same idea of them being in a mall and just kind of up it a little bit without getting too caught up in, you were saying, CGI or, just doing the same moves but with more technology. I think that's when they fail, the Nightmare on Elm Street. They tried a lot of the same exact shots, but ooh, we're going to use our CGI to make it better, and then it just looks way stupider.
Yeah. Yeah, I would say one thing that you'd have to do is, I mean, I don't know if it's got to be comparable. Like, if you did a remake of a movie that was made in, like, 2003 that uses a lot of CG, would you have to still do practical effects? I don't know. But I think what we've seen from, like, these movies, these four examples, the practical effects in Dawn of the Dead and in Evil Dead, I think worked a lot better. I think you're right, Ethan. Like, keeping some distance from the original is good, because otherwise it's like, why are you remaking it?
Right.
And that's one thing. Nightmare on Elm Street seemed pointless. And this one I thought had enough distance. I thought actually this movie had a good example of what sucks and what is good about remakes. Because the one thing, the reason I couldn't figure out why did the Zack Snyder Dawn of the Dead work is that it's the same setup basically as A Nightmare on Elm Street. They took a director of commercials who had, it was his first film in both instances, a much, you know, enjoyed movie from, you know, back in the 70s and 80s, and kind of, you know, do it over, give it a makeover, make it look modern. And yet Nightmare on Elm Street was such a letdown. And I think this movie was kind of, I actually don't know what Fede Alvarez's background is. I don't think he's got the same background as them.
This was his first feature.
It was his first feature?
Yeah.
What did he have the same background though, of being like a music video / commercial guy?
He did a lot of shorts. He did short films. I mean, I think some of them were horror, but...
Yeah, I think that's a slight difference, though.
Right. 'Cause,
I mean, but anyway, like, the early part of this movie, they did a lot of the same things that I hated, and I actually was like, oh, this is, like, the same thing over and over again. Like, doing, like, they had that scare with he's looking behind the curtain, and it's just a cat. And it was enough to make me think, like, you know, movies at this point have trained you that if someone's walking towards something and the music's swelling, it's nothing. Because you've seen that fake out so many times. And actually, I think the first Evil Dead does that. And it's like, that's a 35-year-old movie that they do the same trick. Like, why would you ever do that? But later, I think, you know, they did try to push, I think, in the spirit. I think it's good that this movie disgusted Adrian, because it's like, I'm sure that the original one disgusted people back in the day. So I think going in the spirit of it and not just aping it the way A Nightmare on Elm Street did, like, the exact same shots, was a good idea to kind of, like, try to make the movie over again for your age, not just, you know, not in your era.
Sure. Well, I think they completely failed with, I don't know if you guys remember the Psycho remake from about, what was that, 10 years ago? Where it literally was
a shot-for-shot remake. Wasn't that like a shot-for-shot remake?
Shot-for-shot. Mm-hmm. Everything was completely the same. And like you said, what is the point? What are you trying to do here? It's really unfair to the.
That almost seems just like a type A kind of. Yeah, it seems like someone who's just like such a type A that they can't handle like everything's got to be like touched up.
Right.
It almost seems like they want to just like spruce up the original and like make a version in like color.
Sure.
And it's like that. It's such an insane motivate. I understand it. Because I think if you watch some of those old movies, like especially if you watch the original theatrical cut of Star Wars, it is kind of junky, and you can kind of get why someone would want to like kind of fix it. Mm-hmm. But I mean, I think just that motivation or that instinct is just so wrong, and it, I don't know if it ever ends well.
Well, I think the same could be said for non-horror films today, like Total Recall and the, rumors that they want to remake Big Trouble in Little China.
Really?
And films like that, which are so, you know, they're so reminiscent and so very clearly from an era where you didn't have CGI and where it was totally 80s and it was weird. And how, you can't infuse that again. Although I think they actually did a pretty good job with Stranger Things. But, you know, that's a discussion for another time, I guess.
Yeah, I think that you just have to, I think that's what you do, is you take what you love, and instead of trying to remake it, you just put that into something new.
Yeah, you can tell with this movie or The Dawn of the Dead that the guy, whoever was making it, enjoyed the original, and it seemed like it was a passion project of theirs. Whereas, like, the other ones kind of seem like a studio just wanted to remake the movies, so they just got a director to do it.
Right. Yeah, I agree with that. And I think...
I think that is what happened with all of these, though.
I'm sorry?
I agree that both of those seem more like movies that the guy had more of an interest in the original. But I think both of them were a case of kind of finding a director because the studio wanted to make them for years and just it didn't happen until it came out. So it is kind of weird. I mean, it's possible that there just are no real rules because sometimes someone's going to, the studio's going to remake it and it might turn out shitty and it might turn out bad. But I mean, some directors have a little better approach, I think.
Well, yeah. I mean, I think also it helped with this one that Sam Raimi and Bruce Campbell were tied to it. They were producers.
That's true.
And another guy, Robert Tappert, who was involved in the original too. So I'm sure that made it better than it would have been if they weren't tied at all.
Imagine how bad it could have been.
I wonder what effect they really had.
Well, when they were initially thinking of having Ashton there, I read that Ashton Kutcher was floated as an idea to recast him.
No, Jesus.
How fucking awful would that have been?
Awful? Yeah, you know, it could have happened. It truly could have happened, you know?
All right, well, let's wrap up. Corrections for last time. Ethan, what do you got?
We failed to mention that A Nightmare on Elm Street, the remake, was produced by the comparable Michael fucking Bay. And, like we're talking about, he helped produce the remake of Friday the 13th in 2009. And I think another one too. So, just another reason to love Michael Bay. Oh yeah, here we go. Texas Chainsaw Massacre, 2003. Amityville Horror, 2005. Hitcher, 2007. Friday the 13th.
Wow, he was involved in a lot of those.
2009. Nightmare on Elm Street, 2010. Thank you so much.
Was he the executive producer, or was he just like he was throwing money at these because it was like a good investment?
He co-owns the production house, Platinum Dunes.
Oh.
Oh, I see.
I heard Texas Chainsaw Massacre, wasn't that one well received?
Which one?
Texas Chainsaw Massacre? I thought that one was like well received.
Well, who cares?
I don't remember it being well received, although it wasn't torn to shreds. So that's something.
What else?
Rotten Tomatoes, 36%.
Oh, Jesus Christ. Ooh. All right.
Wow.
That's a Michael Bay B+.
Guys, what was the name of the actor who played Freddy Krueger in the remake?
Oh, that was Jackie Earle Haley from
Watchmen. So once I heard he was cast, I'm like, this movie's going to be a fucking bomb. And I'm going to see it, and it's going to be awesome. And yeah, like, wow, what the hell happened? How could this happen? And you know, if we're going to be honest, like we've been saying, remakes are pretty universally shitty. Mm-hmm. And I don't know did you guys do a Halloween remake this year?
We didn't see the Halloween remake.
Oh.
I think next year, definitely that should be on the agenda because there's a lot to say about it. Because I think, although I really hated it as a Halloween film, I think the director really had some guts and some gusto and really did it his way. And I can only thank him for that. Most remakes, I don't think can say that. I think they're just, corporate bullshit.
Yeah. Yeah, I think we've discovered that.
Yeah, that's the lesson learned. Do we have any more corrections?
I guess here it says we said, but I think mostly you said it, Jared. That you...
All right, it's on me.
Yeah. I love how you make me read these corrections, even though they're mostly corrections of what you said. So you said that back in the day you could catch Halloween movie marathons on AMC, but now you can't do it, and we were really lamenting that fact. But turns out AMC still does this, but we're both just jackasses because neither one of us have cable anymore.
Yeah, I found that out while live streaming Walking Dead yesterday. I was like, oh, they still do the like 30 days of Halloween. And they're like, look, all these classic horror movies. I could be watching them now.
This is great.
Yeah, so that's on me. I don't subscribe to cable anymore. And I guess I could just watch AMC live on my computer using my friend's login code, but
there you go.
All right, well, that's it for this week, and that's it for this whole month. We were going to do next week. Yeah, we were going to do The Ring, and then there's Rings is coming out. But we're just so burnt out on both horror movies and this whole remake thing. It's just like a really mentally taxing thing to watch like two or three versions of the same movie.
Yeah, it's literally the hardest thing.
Especially since a lot of them suck.
It doesn't help.
Yeah, I mean, other than the Dawn of the Dead, the original one, which I hadn't seen, the remake, which I had, and then the Evil Deads, I think I've hated everything. I hated both Blair Witches. The original Nightmare on Elm Street was fine, but I wasn't a huge fan of it.
Mm-hmm.
And so, yeah, so next week, we're going to do a crossover episode with the Asterix, our podcast, which is under the Hard Men to Please umbrella, and we're going to bring Coogee in. And we were going to do The Rings, but instead we're just going to flip a coin and find a movie, or figure something out. We'll watch a child's film, maybe, to work in Coogee's wheelhouse.
Well, I asked him what movie he wanted to watch, and I was like, we're done doing horror, like, please no more horror. He was like, okay, how about The Grudge? I think that's one of his favorite movies.
An asshole. Is it really?
Yeah, he loves that shit.
Jesus, I saw that movie. That's no good. Anyway, so that's all for us. Follow us at Hard Men to Please on Twitter, on Instagram. Email questions or hate. We have yet... Everyone, I guess, agrees with our opinions, so no one's yet emailed us to
I figured so.
There's nothing left to say. Yeah. So no one's emailed us. But if you want to be the first, it's hardmentoplease@gmail.com and subscribe on iTunes and Stitcher, because that's where we are.
Yeah, bitch.
All right. Well, we love you, listener, and we'll see you next week.
My listener, love you.
Sayonara.